We're going to start this morning by playing a game. I need 4 volunteers to come to the stage to help me with this game. And I'm looking for kind of teenage on up. I'm not going to embarrass you. There's a chance you'll win a prize. So don't everyone come down at once. And don't make me call your name, because I will. 4. All right, Jeff's coming. Need 3 more. Got all morning, people. All right, Jenny's coming on up. All right, we got 2 more coming on up. All right. Perfect. We're going to have you two be a team, okay? And then you two are going to be a team. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a game called Catchphrase. All right, maybe you've played it, you know, before, but it's a... I can't say the catchphrase. What we're going to do is one of you is going to be the reader, which means you get to look at the screen with the word on it. And you get to describe everything you can to get your teammate to say that word without saying the actual word. Sound all right? So for instance, if the word is chair, you can say where you might sit on, but you can't say chair. You say chair, okay? You also cannot skip, so if you get stumped on a word, too bad, okay? The most words wins. So we're going to start with this team. You guys have, what did we say, 40 seconds, Riley? About 40 seconds, okay? We'll start with them. You guys get so many, and then we'll see how many you get. Winner gets a cool prize, okay? So maybe take a minute, decide who's going to get to look at the screen, who's going to be the guesser. You guys got that figured out? All right, so you're going to look, you're going to describe. Darren, you're going to guess. All right, hand Darren the mic.
Who's guessing?
I am.
You ready?
You get the mic.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Hit it.
Classroom? Measurements? King?
Next.
Buy stuff. Cash, money, credit card.
A dog.
Ooh, said dog. Skip to the next one.
Time's up.
Okay. All right, you guys got 2. For Doghouse, we would have also accepted where Darren often spends time, but just kidding. All right, Jenny, you're going to describe. Jeff's going to read. Same thing as first service, Andrew. We didn't get through that many, so we'll just keep rolling here with these.
Water comes out of it.
Faucet. A pipe. Squirts.
In a faucet, you have a
sprayer.
Dripping.
Gosh, she's doing a great job.
If it's dripping, you have a in your faucet.
I can't even think right now.
It's terrible. It rhymes with
speak. Leak.
What falls off bread?
Bread. Crumbs.
Okay.
One more.
You blow it out of a circle. Little kids love them.
Bubbles.
Ooh. Boy, you guys got 2? And you guys got 2?
No, we got a fast as we did.
All right, we've got enough words. We're going to set it for 40 seconds more. We'll play another round, okay? Break this tie. Plus, I got done early, so we got plenty of time built in. All right? We'll do this again. You guys ready? Roll to the next. Just roll the next one, yep.
Clothes, shoes, coat, sunscreen.
That's close enough. Go to the next one.
It's on letters.
It's what?
It's on letters when they send it.
Stamps.
No.
Addresses.
Yes.
You watch on TV.
News? Sports?
No. You put it in the TV before you watch it.
VCR, DVD.
Oh, stop. Movie. You guys got two more. All right, so as long as Jeff doesn't get stumped on leak. No, I'm just teasing. All right. Go ahead, Andrew, roll to the next one.
You can get into a movie with it or any
ticket.
Kind of event? Yeah. Opposite of clean.
Dirty. Dirt.
Yes. you don't want it in your hotel bed.
Oh, said bed. Skip to the next one.
What we were talking about with the leak earlier.
Hose, water,
what
spray.
What it's dripping down into.
Sink.
Not running, but slower.
Walk.
Faster.
Trot.
Run to the walk.
Jog.
All right. Good work. Good work. Okay, you guys got four that time. So you guys win some Dairy Queen. Kind of help you extend the summer. You guys, there might still be some donuts in my office, so help yourself. Give them a hand. All right. Well, thanks for playing. Today we are talking in our That's in the Bible series. We're looking at a story involving a prophet, a valley of dead bones, and the power of words. And so I thought we would play that game to kind of talk about, you know, words and getting the words right, as you'll see here throughout the rest of our time this morning. We're looking at Ezekiel chapter 37. It's on page 655 if you're using the Bibles in the seats in front of you. And we'll have the words on the screen behind me as well. We're just going to jump right into verses 1 through 3 in Ezekiel 37. So the Lord took hold of me, that being Ezekiel, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Ezekiel is a prophet sent to God's people, the Israelites. He is God's spokesperson sent to communicate a message on God's behalf to a specific group of people. And a prophet's job was often less than glamorous. A lot of times you were being sent to a group of people and you were to tell them, if you keep living this way, bad things are going to happen to you. And so, you know, oftentimes the people receiving that message did not like to hear that kind of message. A couple of background things I want to look at real quick. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. We don't have that on the screen, but you can find that on page 642 in your Bibles and the seats in front of you. It says this: "I, being God, looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one." If you have your own Bible, or even if you don't, you can circle those words, "stand in the gap." Because we're going to be talking about what it means to stand in the gap this morning. And that's what a prophet was. A prophet was to stand in the gap between God and a specific group of people that God was sending that person to. Other background that will help us this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 28. We'll have that on the screen behind me. Verses 25 and 26 of Deuteronomy 28 say this: "The Lord will cause you to be defeated by your enemies. You will attack your enemies from one direction, but you will scatter from them in seven. You will be an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your corpses will be food for all the scavenging birds and wild animals, and no one will be there to chase them away." When you read Deuteronomy 28, you see two things. The first is basically God saying, "Look, Israelites, my people, if you follow me, good things are going to happen. But if you disobey me, bad things are going to happen." And in verses 25 and 26, especially 26, it says, "Your corpses will be food for all the scavenging birds." And so Ezekiel is taken away by God's Spirit to a valley in which this exact same thing is happening. He is seeing a valley filled with dry, dead, decaying bones. Bones that have been left out to be scorched in the sun. Bones that have been left out for the wild animals to come and to pick at and to gnaw at. The large amount of bones implies the scene of a major catastrophe. And in the biblical time period that this takes place in, tradition surrounding that time period said that if your body was left in the open like that, it was the sign that you were cursed. It means you did not get a proper burial or a proper funeral service. You were just left out there, again, dying, decaying. Animals were picking at you. And so by the time we get to Ezekiel chapter 37, the bad news, for the most part, has already happened. The people have been taken from their homeland. They have been removed from Jerusalem. They are now under Babylonian captivity. They're living in a foreign land. They're away from their customs. They're away from whatever seems normal and natural to them. And so they are in need of more of a motivational speaker than they are a judgmental prophet. And so Ezekiel has been sent to try to deliver some hope to this people, some positive message to this people. And so in verse 3, back to Ezekiel 37, verse 3, God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones become living things again? Can these bones become living people?" And I love Ezekiel's response. Ezekiel says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, only you know the answer to that question." If I had been in Ezekiel's shoes, I would have said, I think, the most obvious answer, which was, "No way." I don't know about you, but I have not often seen bones just resuscitate and resurrect to a living being again. Ezekiel knows how difficult it is to motivate a group of people from a position of obedience to a position of disobedience. I said that wrong. From a position of disobedience to a position of obedience. And the people he's trying to motivate have already suffered the consequences of their decision. They've already been exiled. They've already received what God had said would happen. And so God wants to know if his prophet, if his spokesperson, if this person that he has sent to stand in the gap thinks there's any hope for this dead people. Who in your life, who in my life, your circle of friends, is someone that you think can't get any farther away from God? Do you have a friend, a family member, a coworker, a classmate, a neighbor, a buddy, that if they were to be at a worship service like this one this morning, you would be shocked to see them? Or if you were to find out that they decided to follow Jesus, you would say, "There is no way that that's happening." Who in your life represents that? Take a moment to think about that. Do you have that person in mind? Now ask yourself, is there any hope for that person? Is there any hope for them? Is it possible? Is it possible for that person to become a follower of Jesus? Is it possible for that person who may be dead to become to life again? And if you're like me, you want to say yes. You want to say, "Well, of course there's hope. There's hope for all of us." But maybe by the way I live my life, maybe by the way you live your life, we live our lives in ways that answer that question with a no. We've written that person off, or we haven't given that person a chance. If we're honest, the best answer we could give is the one that Ezekiel gives. Only you know, sovereign Lord, if there is hope. Jump back to verse 4. "So then he," God, "said to me, Ezekiel, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscle and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Jump to verse 10. So I spoke the message as he commanded them, and breath came into their bodies. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. No one is ever beyond the grace and the love of God. There is nothing you and I can do to make God love us more or less than how much God loves us right now. You could do something, or I could do something horrific, or we could do something heroic. And that's not going to cause God to love us any more or less than how much God loves us right now. And the same goes for that person that you thought of and the person that I thought of. God needed Ezekiel to stand in the gap, to be less of a doomsday prophet and more of a motivational speaker by speaking hope into a people who are in desperate need of it, into a people who have been removed from everything they know, into a people who, for all intents and purposes, are dead. And what's interesting is how God brings those dry bones back to life. It's through Ezekiel's words. God tells his spokesperson, his person standing in the gap, to speak to the bones. To speak words to the bones that bring those bones back to life. Again, biblical tradition and kind of the Near Eastern tradition around this time period called this the performative power of words. What we mean by that is basically when Ezekiel is saying, give breath to those bones, that's actually happening. So by the words that the prophet is speaking, that thing actually takes place. When you look back to Genesis 1 and you look at the account of how God created the world and how God created the heavens and the earth, creation comes into being through the word of God. Right? God says, let there be light, and there's light. God says, let there be an expanse between the sky and the sea, and there's the separation, there's the sky. God said, let us create male and female in our own image, and man and woman come into being. It's through the word of God that is spoken that that thing actually takes place. And we see the same thing happening in Ezekiel with this vision. He is speaking life to those dead, dry, decaying bones. So I want you to think back to that person in your life. That person who you believe can't get any farther away from God. Or maybe it's anyone. Any person in your life that you could use some hope. Or it could be anyone that you come into contact with. It could be the person that you see at lunch when you leave here. It could be the person living next door to you when you return home. I saw this image this week on Facebook. Thought it was kind of telling for what we're talking about today. It says, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. You and I are God's prophets, God's spokespersons. You have been called to stand in the gap between God and between a specific group of people that God wants you to reach out to. God has you right where God wants you. He has you in the neighborhood he wants you. If you're a student or a teacher, he has you in the school that he wants you. If you're a worker, he has you in the workplace that he wants you. He has you in the family that he wants you. And God has a specific mission, a specific purpose that only you can fill. No one else can stand in your gap for you. You are called to stand in that gap. You are called to bring hope. You are called to use your words to speak life into that specific place where God has you. I can't do that for you. The person sitting next to you can't do that for you. Only you can do that. And God is waiting for his church and waiting for you and I to be people who respond to that call to stand in those gaps. God, Ezekiel 22 says, God is looking for people to stand in the gap. When Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, in the book of Romans, he says, how can people be saved if they do not believe? And how can people believe if they've never heard of Jesus? And how can people hear of Jesus unless someone tells them. And you and I are to be that someone. You and I are to be the person that speaks life. And there's only two ways you can share the gospel. The one is through your life, and the second is through your words. And we talk a lot here at Hillcrest about people, about being people who get that life part right, about people who get the action part right. But there are come times and moments and places where you will need to risk and to have a conversation which actually uses words to share the hope that you and I have. To speak life to people. Your words have two potentials or two opportunities. You can tear down people with your words. And we say tear down because when you tear down someone with your language, you tear them down. You rip a piece away from them. And you make them feel less, or you make them feel like they're not quite where they need to be. Or you can encourage. And in that word, encourage is the word courage. And when you encourage someone, you give them courage. It's the third Sunday of the month, which means we give an additional offering here at Hillcrest called our benevolent offering. This offering goes to assist people here in Hillcrest and throughout our community with real needs, things like rent and utilities, food, gas, that type of thing. And so the ushers are going to come, and as we give that offering, we're going to play a video. And the video kind of has an anti-bully, back-to-school type of feel to it, but it really speaks to where we're at, no matter where we're at in life. It really speaks to what we're talking about today. And so it doesn't matter if you're going back to school tomorrow or in the days to come. It doesn't matter if you're going back to work or going back to your home. Consider what this video is saying to you today. Let me pray for the offering, and then we'll watch the video. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to give to you in this way again. We pray that you use these funds to bring people here in Sioux Falls and throughout our church closer to you through meeting real needs. We thank you for the privilege we have to give to you today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You take your program that you got this morning, turn to page 7. And on page 7, you're going to see that the Jesus memo, the thing that the video just referred to. Great reminders of how you and I can be people who stand in the gap and can speak life to the people God has called us to speak life to. And so here's the thing. I would love it if, you know, this would not just end up in the trash or on your seat as you leave here today. I would love it if you're a student, maybe you put this in your locker, maybe you put this in your trapper keeper, your binder. If you're a teacher, maybe you put this on your desk or on a bulletin board. If you're a, you know, quote-unquote, you know, normal job worker, maybe you put that in your cubicle or on a bulletin board or on your computer. And maybe you put it in on a dresser at home, on the fridge, on a mirror, in your car. But somewhere where you're going to, it's going to remind you to be the type of person that Jesus has called you and I to be. No one can stand in the gap that God has asked you to stand in. No one can do it but you. So consider starting by standing in that gap with this Jesus memo and seeing how God can use you today, how God uses you tomorrow, and the days and the weeks to come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this group of people here, this church. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for their love for people. And I pray, Father, that we would be a people who would stand in the gap for you. Whether that's in our home, or that's at our school, in our neighborhood, or at our workplace. And that you would use us to bring people closer to you through our words and through our actions. Father, I pray you bless this people, bless all of us as we leave this place today. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming out. Have a great Sunday.